All right, we're starting here at the top of Chav Zayin, but Aleph, Gemara is discussing Yitzmar, Eid Zumim. When it comes to Eidim Zumimim, Machlokes, Abay, and Rovo, and here we're going to actually have two of the cases of Yal Kagam, two of the instances where we actually paskin like Abaya. So the first one is Eid Zumim, Abaya Amar, the Mafreya Hu Nifsal, that the soul, once we've identified that this individual is an Eid Zumim, there could be a gap between the time that they actually testified and then the time that we find out they're in Eid Zomim. What is the status in the individual between the moment of their testimony to the time that they're actually implicated as Eidim Zomimim? So Abaye says, L'mafreya, it's retroactive, they've nifsal. They're nifsal from the moment that they gave testimony, they're nifsal once we find out that they were Eidim Zomimim. Rav Amar, Mikan lo habahu nifsal. That only here 2-4 do we say that he is an Eid Zomim, that it's not something that we look backwards from the moment they're implicated or incriminated, that's the moment that they become an Eid Zomim. So Abaye Amar, the Mafreyahu nifsal mi ido de asid, rashahu. From the moment they testified, they did something wrong. And they are Rishaim because they testified falsely at that moment. But Torah Amar, al tashet yadcha im rasha. Al tashet rasha aid. Right, that's the drasha that you can't make a rasha an aid. That means from the moment they became rishaim, which is from the moment they testified falsely, they are precluded from being aidim. Rav Amar mikanal abahu nifsal aid zomeim chidushu, because aid zomeim is a chidush. You can only take, or you can't take any more than the chidush. Why is aid zomeim a chidush? What's the chidush about aid zomeim is that we don't say this is an aidot mukheshet. We don't say that these are just two parties that are arguing about the facts. But we actually give or empower the second set of Eidim that come and say, Imanu Aitim, we believe them, and on that basis we punish, or we could kill, we get whatever, zamam lasot, to the first set of Eidim. The fact that we give more power or more strength to the second set of Eidim over the first set of Eidim, that's a chidush. So once you get to a chidush, you can't give more than the chidush itself. From that moment they are incriminated, from that point forward they become Eidim Zomimim. So my chazita, what is it? My chazita, the samachta hani, samukha hani. Why do you believe the second set of Eidim? Believe the first set of Eidim. And chabo, el mishat chidusho ve'elech. You can't have any more from the moment of the chidush forward. That's all that you can rely on. Tosis over here discusses what is the chidush over here. Right? Is the chidush that we're posel the first set of Eidim? Or is the chidush that we believe the second set of Eidim? So that's what Tosfos over here says, the way that I explained it, is that we believe the second set of Eidim. The chidush is not that we posel the first set of Eidim. That makes sense. Meaning that the first set and the second should be posel, because there it's an eidut mukheshet. So that's the natural course should be, they're both psulim.
That's what happens against the people.
It depends on the people themselves about the facts of the case. Right, they're both psulim in that case. So now here, the chidush is that the second set is not psul and is believed in order to testify against the first set. G'damrei, Rava name ke Abaye svirle. There's one that say Rava also holds like Abaye, so you can understand why here we're going to pass in like Abaye is when the case of Yal Kagam, because Rava does agree to Abaye. Umatam kamar mikano l'haba. So why does he say mikano l'haba if he believes that Abaye is right and it's l'mafreya? Shem seido l'kuchot. Because it's a shuk issue, it's a commercial issue, which is that what are you going to have? They have these Eidim that testify in Nisan, comes around to Tishrei and they're found to be Eidim Zomimim. Every contract or any testimony that they've been involved since the sent to Tishrei is going to be undermined if we say the Mafreya. That could ruin all the transactions, any contract they signed on. It could create a large problem for people. So we'd rather not have this be a huge issue. So it's simply, it's a kanat chachamim. Ein ol chanami, they really are, right? Idim zomimim mizman ha idut, from the testimony time. We just, to protect the shuk as a whole, we don't want to have them be Eidim Zomimim from that moment, and therefore we say, only from here, Mikan Hula Abba. So my binayu, what's the difference between them? Iku binayu de asade beitrei bechad. So Iku binayu here is, what's the difference in the two lishonot of Rava? According to the two lishonot of Rava, in both instances, it's Mikan Hula Abba. So what does it matter if it's midoraisa, it's Mikan Hula Abba? What does it matter if it's a tokanat chamim that we do it Mikan Hula Abba? So the first answer is, what happens if we have a sidu beitrei bechad? So that's the way Rashi reads it over here, that we actually have three sets of Eidim here. We have the first set of Eidim that came and testified, and then we have two sets of Eidim that come and testify that they are Eidim Zomimim. Two Eidim on each one of the Eidim. So 2 to 1. On 2 to, right? On 2 to 1, we say, why is it a chiddush? We said before, it's because you have 2 versus 2. And in 2 versus 2, to believe the second over the first, that's a chiddush. Whereas, over here, if I say that I have 2 sets of edim that are testifying that the first set is edim zomimim, then it's 2 versus 1. It's no longer a chiddush that we punish the first set of edim because it's 2 versus 1. That's the way Rashi learns it. Brain Utam, which is, which might bother you also, is bothered by the fact that we say in general, by edut, trei kemeya mea kitrei. I mean, why should it matter? If we're believing these individuals or not believing the individuals, it shouldn't matter if there are 2 sets of edim saying the same thing or 1 set of edim saying the same thing. Once they've said it, it's trei kemeya, shouldn't have any impact over here. I don't see that being any better, that there are 2 sets of edim saying the same thing versus 1 set of edim saying the same thing. So Rabbeinu Tam tries to explain it, which is the girsa over here, at least according to Rashi, the older girsa was trei bechad, trei bechad. It said it twice. Trei bechad, which is what I was describing before. You have 2 edim testifying about 1 of the first edim, and 2 edim testifying about the other second ed. So here, that along comes Rabbeinu Tam, it says, no, it only says trei bechad one time. It says trei bechad one time, which means that they're only making 1 of the 2 edim in the kat and ed zomim. So now it's no longer a chiddush, because then you have 2, which is a real kat edut, testifying about 1 who has no tokef in halacha. Single ed has no tokef in halacha. So here they're not going to make the, they're going to make only 1 of the edim into an ed zomim. But now we know the halacha is that until the whole kat is a made it to zomimim, they're not punished. So the Rabbeinu Tam is suggesting, as a little bit of a chiddush, that the one aid takes on a shame aid zomim, even though it have no impact in terms of being punished. He'll become an aid zomim when we testify about him, right, that he is an aid zomim. Alright, so that's the way the Rabbeinu Tam reads it. That's one, ad sidu be'e trei be'echad, v'inami ta peslinu begazlanuta. The reposayim begazlanuta. Rashi says, what does it mean begazlanuta? She'idu she'gazlanim him. Testify that they are gazlanim, they're thieves. That they stole in Nisan. So now there's no chidush anymore, because we're not talking about the fact that it's a eid zomim, that we believe the second eidim, because you say imanu eidim, da 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 da. Here we have a full-fledged testimony that they are, right, they are eidim, or they are gazlanim. Once they're gazlanim, they're rishayim. It's not an issue that they're testifying in a case, and we believe them over one issue. To me, it's not clear what the difference between that.
If they're saying that they were already rishayim, then At the time that they testified, they were already.
If you can possibly, what you're suggesting, Shaul, is right, is that if they're gazlanim prior to the case already, then the testimony never took hold, right? So there's nothing to speak about, right? Okay. So suggest the Rabbeinu Tam over here says that because here talking about gazlanim has nothing to do with edim zomimim. There's 2 different issues, totally entirely. So how could you explain the machlokas? Or the nafkamina and the machlokas, or the 2 shitot in Rava, how can you explain their difference about something about gazlanim when it has nothing to do with edim zomimim? So the Rabbeinu Tam over here much is even more problematic, I would say, in explaining, is that you have 2 edim, he says, are testifying about 1 of the edim that they're an ed zomim, and 2 edim testifying about the other ed that he's a gazlan. So between the 2 sets of edim, one is testifying that he's an ed zomim, one testifying that he is a gazlan, and between them they passel the edut the gamra. Alright? Either way, it's not such a simple flow of the Gemara over here. Alright, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyami Difti. Avad Rapapi Uvdu Kavati de Rava. So Rapapi Paskin like Rava. Mar Baravashi Amar Hilchato Kavati de Abaye. The law is like Abaye. Vihilchato Kavati de Abaye be Al Kagam. That the law is like Rabbi with Yal Kagam. The ayin here in Yal Kagam is Eid Zomim. And we're going to have another one of the 2 cases. Actually, let's set out the cases over here. Yeh Shlomi Da we had in Baba Metzia. Eid Zomim is right here. Lechi Omid Meilav is in Erevin. So that we won't get to for a little while. And then Kiddushin, Shalonim Seru Lebi'a, we saw that, in Ish Mekadesh. And now we're going to see Mumar Ochel Nevelot Lehachis, we're going to see in a second. And then Gilu'idat is in Gitin, we saw that by Gitin. Alright, so now, the next case of Yal Kagam, where we do pass on like a bias, Mumar Ochel Nevelot Le'te'avon. Person is a mumar to eat nevelot. I mean, that he eats non-kosher food because he enjoys non-kosher food. Divrei Hakol pasul. In all of these cases, everybody agrees he's pasul. Why? Because the decision is, according to Rashi, is a monetary decision. Non-kosher food is much cheaper to get. This guy's a glutton. He wants to eat all the time, so it's much easier for him to eat non-kosher food. He's enjoying the non-kosher food. So in that instance, we believe that he will therefore make poor decisions where it comes to monetary matters, meaning if someone will pay him off to testify falsely, when it comes to testify, he won't be so careful with his testimony, because money is a consideration for him. We don't want him testifying. Right? But now, the hachis, what happens if he eats nevelot? Not because he enjoys them, but because he wants to be morid by Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? He wants it. I don't care. I can do this. I can eat non-kosher. It doesn't that it means they have any desire for it. It's not necessary. He could do without it. Nevertheless, because non-kosher food was available to him at the same price, at the same time, and yet he still eats the non-kosher food. So, Abaye Amar Pasul. Abaye says he's Pasul. Rabbi Amar Kasher. Rabbi says he's Kasher. Abaye Amar Pasul. Davalei Rasha. He's a Rasha. Rachman Amar. Tashed Rashaid. So Rav Amar asks, what's Rav's position then? Rav Amar Kasher, because Rasha de Hamas be inan. We have a Rasha that's associated with monetary matters. It can't simply be that you're a Rasha and then you can testify. You have to be a Rasha in monetary matters, because then we don't believe, or then we suspect, or whether you are really going to be telling the truth, or whether you can be swayed from telling the truth. And so that's what we worried about, it's in monetary issues. So Meitavei, Al Teshet Rasha Eid, Al Teshet Hamas. So over here, they dash in the Pasuk for two different points. One is Al Teshet Rasha Eid, and Al Teshet Hamas Eid. So over here, you have two, it seems to be two categories, right? Rasha and Hamas. So Eilu Gazlanim Umoalim, right, Bishwot. These are two different psulim. One is a psul of Gazlan, which is obviously Hamas. Umoalim Bishwot, and people who are take problematic Shvot. So my love. So what does it sound like here? Shvuot is written in plural. That means different types of shvuot that they take falsely will cause them problems in terms of their testimony. My love, echad shvuot shav, echad shvuot mamon. Right? It shouldn't matter whether they're monetary shvuot, meaning shvuot about monetary matters, or shvuot shav, which have no relationship to any court cases or any right mamonos issues. And yet we're going to say that these edim are classified as bishayim and bipsulim leidut. So my says, lo, idi shvot mamon. So both of them are shvot mamon. Ah, so then why does it use the plural form? My shvot, shvot alma. I mean, shvot in general. It's not telling you two specific shvot that he took that are problematic. I mean, shvot in general. This person is moel and shvot in general, or people in general that are moel b'shvot, they are problematic over here. That because they take shvot, false shvot, when it comes to mamon, again, there's suspect, or there is suspicion cast on them when it comes to issues where they could be swayed by money. So meitavei, have a similar limud again, al tashet rasha eid, al tashet chamas eid, again, two separate categories, one rasha, one chamas, elu gazlanim, umalvei ribiot. So over here you have, what are the two categories that the Gemara brings up? One is gazlan, and the other one is malvei ribit. So tiyuftu da abaye, tiyuftu, the Gemara says, it's a problem for abaye. Why? Because over here, if I were a bayi, I would like to see something that was not chamas, not mamon. I mean, here, you could have created a chiddush, because you separated between the word rasha and chamas. So I'd like to see you put monetary matters under chamas, and put other issues under rasha. Fact is, here, the Braisa puts two monetary issues, one under rasha, and one under chamas. So that really is against the bayi's position. So the Gemara says, Rashi points out over here, malvei ribiot, so here, miul teyavon, when it comes to Teyavon, they're classified like Gazlan and Malvei Ribit. Shumamon Kavit. But when it comes to Achis, right, it'll turn out that you actually have something which is almost logically backwards, which is someone who does Lachis, who's rebelling against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, will still be kosher to come be an aid. Whereas someone who eats the Teyavon, who's suspect about his decisions when it comes to monetary matters, he'll be Pasul Eidut. Right, so it's not your religious faith that will allow you to testify, but it's simply whether you are swayed by monetary issues or not is going to allow you to testify. Right. Right. Zechar b'peh, echad b'leiv. Right. He does what he says, and he doesn't believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right. Tu yufta, tu abaye, tu yufta. So that would be a question in abaye. Despite that, so this is interesting, despite that it's tu yufta, tu abaye, tu yufta, hilchasa ki abaye in this case. And that even though this is one of the Al Gagam where we actually paskin like Abaye. So even though he's Itotav over here, nevertheless we paskin like him. So Gemara says, Neima Abaye ke Rabbi Meir, Verava ke Rabbi, oh wait, Neima Ketanai, I skipped it. Yeah, sorry. Neima Ketanai, let's say that this is like a Machlokes Tanaim that we have. Eid Zomeim Posel Bechola Torah Kula Devi Rabbi Meir. Eid Zomeim is Posel from testifying in any type of case in the whole Torah. Rabbi Yossi Omer Bemet, that's when he was only made into an Eidzomim in a capital case. Of Ahuzam Bedinei Memonot, he was made into an Eidzomim in a monetary case. Kasher Ledinei Nefashot, then by capital cases he could testify. So a name, Abayi Ki Rabbi Meir, let's say Abayi holds like Rabbi Meir, Abayi says that as soon as you're Pasul, you're a Rasha in any sense, then you become an Eid Pasul and you can no longer testify. That's exactly what Rabbi Meir is suggesting over here. Meir suggests no matter whether it's the Kula or the Chumrah, I mean, even if you are an Eid Zomeim in a monetary matter, it's going to affect the fact that you can testify in a capital case. If you're an Eid Zomeim in a capital case, you can't testify in a monetary case. You're precluded in both instances. Whereas Rava, ki Rabbi Yossi, right? Rava is going to hold like Rabbi Yossi. That Rabbi Yossi says, when can we say that you are an aid and pasul for anything? That's when you have the chumrah. When you retire aid zomeim in a capital case, then we say you're precluded from monetary cases. But we won't say the other way around. If just because you're an aid zomeim in a monetary case, that would necessarily affect your testimony in a capital case. So where it says, we'll explain this. Abayi ki Rabbi Meir d'amrina mi kula l'chumra. That we say, even when it's something a kula, from a mamonas case, we'll apply it to a chumra, we'll apply it to a capital case. Rabbi d'amrak Rabbi Yossi d'amrak mi chumra l'kula amrinan. When it's a stronger form or a higher form of adjudication, then we will apply it to the lower form. And if you're found to be an eitz omeim in capital cases, then certainly by monetary cases. But if you're found to be an eitz omeim in a monetary case, that doesn't necessarily impact your testimony in capital, or preclude you from testifying in capital cases. According to Rabbi Yossi, everybody agrees that you can't extend the psul from one type of case to another type of case. Meaning, according to Rav, it works well. According to Abayi, he's going to have to say that it's a machlokas tanaim. He can't agree with Rabbi Yossi. Ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Meir. They argue according to Rabbi Meir. Abaye ki Rabbi Meir. Abaye says, I hold like Rabbi Meir. If you're in Rasha, anywhere, you're precluded from testifying. You're now an eid pasul. Rav Amar, adkan lo kama Rabbi Meir hotam elagabe eid zomeim. The mamon, the ro le shamayim ve rova le briot. Now, over there, the case, over here, Rabbi Meir says, you're pasul, the choli diyot shebetara, because why? You were found to be wanting in a testimony where you affect both the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Rav Briot. You're doing something that is negative for others, ben adam lechaviro, but is also negative between ben adam le makom. So over here, we're not going to trust you anywhere. Of a hocha, in our instance over here, the Rav Shemayim bein Rav Briot. Over here, when you're a mumar lahachis doesn't affect ben adam lechaviro, he's simply a problem of ben adam le makom. So in that case, we're going to say, don't extend that to anywhere else. Just because you are problematic ben adam le makom doesn't mean you're going to be problematic ben adam lechaviro. So we're not going to extend that their consideration, we're not going to extend that logic to this case of mumar lahachis. Halacha is like Abaye. So Mary asked the question, Abaye Totov. What do you mean halacha is like Abaye? We had a strong question against Abaye from a Braisa. Mary says, Aye, to Rabbi Yossi. We don't have a problem. We'll explain that Braisa is being authored by Rabbi Yossi. And we just said already that Abaye doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi, he holds like Rabbi Meir. So Mary says, okay, so what? If it's Tiavi Nami Rabbi Yossi, let the Braisa be authored by Rabbi Yossi. We also have a principle, Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yossi, halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. So now you have a principle, Abaye v'Rav halacha ki Rava. You have a principle, Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yossi. Abaye v'Rav halacha ki Rava in general. Right. So now also over here, also over here you have Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yossi, halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. So we should pass from like Rabbi Yossi and Rava in this instance. How could you be passing like Abaye, number one, against Rava? And if you say we pass like him against Rava, how could you pass him like Rabbi Meir over Rabbi Yossi? Right, says Shani Hotzam. It's different over here. The Stam Lantanuk of Rabbi Meir. We have a Stam Mishnah that supports the position of Rabbi Meir. Heicha Stam Lan. Where is this Stam Mishnah? Kihad the Barchamo. So this case of Barchamo, Kotel Nafsha. He killed someone. Amar le the Reish Galut to the Rav Abba Bar Yaakov Puk Ayinba. Go out and check into this individual. He killed someone. Look into the case. Ivadai Katel. If he really killed, lichyuye leine. Right, it's getting ready for Pesach. It says, you'll poke his eyes out. Right, so that you'll poke his eyes out. Rashi says, gives three explanations of what it means, lichyuye leine over here. He says, one is, it's knas. It's a knas over here. Because Beis Din in their time could not give capital punishment, therefore Beis Din makim ve'onshin shelo min haTorah. So this was the punishment they gave for killing, would be that they poke his eyes out. All right, the Yeshomrim. Alright, that was the Knesset. Basically, the second one is Yitlu Mimono, Yitnu Yoshim, that they take away all his money and give it to his Yoshim, and they dispossess him of all of his property. Ve'yishomrim Shamto, that you put him into Nidui. And then Rashi says, Rishon Ikar, that the first one is Ikar. This idea that you can punish, that based in exerting influence, meaning that you can't have killers running around. Just because we can't do capital punishment, we have to have some sort of recourse, some sort of control or reason, deterrence to people going around and killing. So this is what they're going to do. They're going to poke his eyes out in order to deter them from killing all the time. Right? Up to Trey Sade, so two witnesses come. Asidu Bey, the Vade Katal, came and gave testimony that he killed. It's also Ihu, Aiti Trey Sade, Asidu Bey, so he brings two edim. Asidu Bey, Chad Behanach, Bechad Behanach. Right, so he says that he brings another two sets of edim, and one of them tests about one of the two edim that we're testing about him. Chadamar kamaydi di ganav kaba d'chushla. One of them says in front of me he stole a kav worth of chushla. Chadamar kamaydi di ganav kato de burtayo or kato de makdeach or romach. Right, so there is some sort of javelin. So you have two edim that come. You have two edim that come testify against this barchamat that he killed. Then, about those two edim, he brings two edim that testify about a single one of them. That two edim that testify that he stole. One of those two edim is a thief, but they didn't see the same act. One of them says he stole from me, right, a kav worth of chushla, which is sorim klupim, right, some sort of shelled barley. And the other one says that he stole from me the handle to a javelin or to some sort of tool that he stole from me. But they both, the tzad shav of shem is that the testament that he is a ganav. So he says, Amalei, said to him, Madatech, Karebi Meir. What do you think? That this is going to help you like Rabbi Meir? Because Rabbi Meir says that if you give a testify that he's a gazlan, then he's pasul not only for monetary cases, he's also pasul for, right? He's going to be pasul for capital cases as well. So over here, what are you going to think for Bar Chama? Bar Chama brings these witnesses thinking it's going to help him in the case. Because if they make these edim pasul le memonidos, they're also going to be pasul le nefashot. So that's what he says to him. He says, what are you thinking over here? This isn't going to help you over here, Bar Chama. This is not going to help you. So then he says, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Lach Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Huzam B'din Imanot, Kasher L'din Imanot. Rabbi Yossi Otoi Tos, if you're Pasol by Din Imanot, that does not affect your standing in capital cases. So these Eidim are still Kasher, even though you brought witnesses that they're Ganavim, it doesn't hurt the case. The loch is like Rabbi Yossi when we don't have a stam mission like Rabbi Meir. Over here we have a stam mission like Rabbi Meir. So he says, Mimai. Where is this stam mission like Rabbi Meir? Everybody keeps saying there's a stam mission like Rabbi Meir. Where is this stam mission like Rabbi Meir? So Rabbi says, Ilema mehadetnan. You have it from this Mishnah. Tanan, kol haroi lidon dinei nefashot, raoi lidon dinei memonot. Anybody could be a judge in adjudicating a case, a capital case. Could also be a judge in a monetary case, money. Who is the author of this Mishnah? Ilema Rabbi Yossi. If you think the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, ha'ika eid zomein. You have a case of eid zomein de mamamon kasher, dinei nefashot, de mamon, I'm sorry, eid zomein de mamon, de kasher, de dinei nefashot, pasul de dinei memonot. You have an eid zomein who was implicated in a monetary case. He is kasher le dinei nefashot. He's okay by capital cases, and he's pasul by dinei memonot. So here you have a case. We can have a judge who is good for kasher for capital cases, and yet he won't be able to be a judge in monetary cases. So lav Rabbi Meir, must be the Rabbi Meir, the author of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Mimai. Who says we're talking about an eid zomim over here? Dilma b'psule yuchsin koi. And we're talking about people who are pasul because of their yichus. How are you going to explain the seifa? If you don't say the problem here, the psul that we're talking about here is a psul of yichus, then you have trouble explaining the second case. What does it mean, psul of yichus? It's president, it's a ger, it's a mamzer. So a ger and mamzer are precluded from testifying in, or from judging or adjudicating capital cases, but they can adjudicate monetary cases. But then you can make a definitive statement. If he can be a judge in a capital case, then he certainly can be a judge in a monetary case, because the qualifications for a capital case are much tighter than they are for monetary cases. So now we can explain the seifa. Seifa d'ktani, yesh ra'oi lidon dinei memanot, vein ra'u ledun dinei nefashot. There's certain people who are qualified to be judges in memanot, monetary cases, but are not qualified to be judges in capital cases. Amai inu ra'uy. Why can't he be ra'uy? So what? De'idzum bedinei nefashot? You're going to say here that he was a case where he's an eidzum meim in a capital case? So ra'uy ledun dinei memanot? So then what? If he was found to be an eidzum meim in a capital case, now you're going to suggest that he's okay to judge monetary cases? Even Rabbi Yossi agrees in that case that it doesn't work. I mean, that once you're found or implicated in a capital case, you can't testify in any case whatsoever anymore. Ella b'psul yuchsin kai. You must be talking about psul yuchsin. Hachinami psul yuchsin kai. The safe is talking about psul yuchsin. So too is the reisha. So that's the explanation of that. Right? The explanation of that mishnah is simple. We're talking about people who are psul. I mean that there's certain individuals who can be judges in monetary cases, but cannot be judges in capital cases. Therefore, if that's the case, anybody who's good enough for a capital case is good enough for a monetary case. There can be people who are good enough for monetary cases that are not good enough for capital cases. Here's the Stam Mishnah, like Rabbi Meir. Titznan, Elu Heina Psulim. These are, it's our Mishnah over here. Who are Pasul Eidut? Who are these Psul Eidut? Right? Amasachek Be Kubia. Someone who, right, is a gambler. Umalve Be Ribit. People lend out to Ribit. Umafriche Yonim, which we saw, Sochare Shvit. And Vavadim. Zeklal kol edut she'ein aishak shera la afhein in kshirim la. These psulei edut midrabanan. Anything that a woman can't testify in a case, they also can't testify in a case. Mani, who is the author of this Mishnah? Ilam Rabbi Yossi. If it's Rabbi Yossi, va'ika edi dinifarshot she'ein aishak shera la afhein kshirim la. What are you talking about? According to Rabbi Yossi, psulei edut when it comes to mamon are only pasul for monetary cases. They are still good edim when it comes to capital cases, when it comes to dinei nefashot. That means that we do have a case where these edim are good edim, and yet a woman is not a good aid. So you can't draw that parallel, you can't draw that absolute a statement that anywhere that a woman can't testify, these people can't testify. That's not true according to Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, there is a case where a woman can't testify, a capital case, where these edim can testify. Alav, Rabbi Meir, it must be that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So that's, if Rabbi Meir is the author of the Mishnah, we find now a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Meir that says that even when you're pasul the dinei memoninos, you're also pasul the dinei mefashot. So it's a Stam Mishnah. Kam Bar Chama. Bar Chama, who is the defendant in this case here, got up and Nashkia Kare. He kisses Rav Papi. He kisses Rav Papi on his on his feet or on his knees, wherever he kissed him. Right, Kibble the Karge the Kulishane, and accepted to pay his head tax for the rest of his life. And basically, he saved him from losing his eyes over here. So Rav Papi saved him because the Psak Halacha is like Rav Meir, not like Rabbi Yossi. I mean, like, this is one of the Yal Kagam cases where we do pass him like Abaye, and therefore he saved his eyes. He saved his eyes. Just, you know, I gotta kiss him, and I gotta take care of him over here. Right, so now we're on to the new Mishnah. Right, the new Mishnah deals with who are psulei dut when it comes to krovim. So here I sent out for you. Look over here. I sent out a family tree that lays out for you all the psulim that we're gonna go through in the Mishnah. Right, so it's laid out. It's a little complex.
Shades
of Yevamot. Right, so that's correct. The reason I did it, I mean, most of them are pretty understandable in the Mishnah. Rashi makes a statement about the Mishnah, or in the Mishnah, which is very difficult to understand. And over here, there's a chart inside of the family tree that shows you what Rashi is saying and explains to you what Rashi is saying. So let's start. Eloena Krovim. These are people that are Krovim. Number one is Echav, right? Brothers. So over here in our chart over here, that would be Reuven, right? If you look in the chart, that would be Reuven, who's the brother of Yehuda, right? If you can see in the, chart. That the brother is Pasul. We also have over here, it's Achei Aviv, right? The brothers of his father is over here, Yaakov, who's the father, Esav, who's the brother of the father, would be Pasul, I mean his uncles through his father. And then Achei Imo, his uncles through his mother, right? So uncle through his mother would be, in his chart would be somebody like Naval. Then we have Ubal Achoto, the husband of his sister, meaning that his brother-in-law. So over here in our case, that would be Dina's husband in our chart over here, Knani. All right, Ubal Achot Aviv. All right, so the fifth psul over here is someone who is the husband of his father's sister. I mean, it's your uncle through marriage on your father's side. It's your aunt, right, from your father's side, and her husband, which is your uncle on that side, which is basically in our chart over here is Kalev, over here is Balachot Aviv. Right? Then, ubal achot imo. The same thing on your mother's side, meaning that your mother's sister's husband, she's your aunt through your mother, and her husband through marriage would be also in pasul, and that is in our chart over here, Israel, which is ubal achot aviv, your uncle through marriage. Ubal imo, right, the husband of your mother, over here in our case, over here, that's down in the bottom left corner over here, in the case where her husband passed away, and then she remarried, right, so the husband of your mother, right, which is your stepfather over there would be Shimon, is Pasul, to testify for you, Shaul. Chamiv, right, your father-in-law. In our case over here, our father-in-law is of Yudah, his father-in-law is Shua, right, so now Giso, and then his brother-in-law. Giso over here is the Giso, not like we used. We used the term brother-in-law in a number of instances. That means anybody who's married to your sister, right, as well as the instance which the Mishnah is talking about over here, which is a case where you married sisters. You married sisters. Yehuda is married to Batshua, and Achira is married to Achot Batshua. Right, so they are married to sisters. They're brother-in-laws because they married sisters. That's Giso in our Mishnah over here. So all of these people are Pasul, they're Krovim, and they're Pasul to testify on your behalf. Hain, not only them, Uvnehem, and their sons, Vichotnehem, and their son-in-laws. Right? Vichorgod Vado, there's one more instance, someone that is Pasul to testify for you, that's only him, not his relatives. That's Chorgo, your stepson. So in our case here, in the chart, it'll be Shaul, who's the stepson to Shimon. He won't be able to testify to Shimon, but that doesn't have application to his son or son-in-law in terms of testifying for Shimon. So Rashi asks a question over here. Rashi says, why did the Mishnah mention, why does it have to mention an item twice? Which is, why does it mention Chorgo and Baal Imo? Chorgo and Baal Imo are, right, two sides of the same coin. Baal Imo is his stepfather, and Chorgo is his stepson. So if his stepfather is pasul to testify for his stepson, obviously the stepson is pasul to testify for the stepfather. I mean, it's a two-way street. If it's a two-way street, why does the Mishnah have to bring both of these items over here? So Rex says, oh, what are you going to tell me? The reason it brought down Chorgo is to teach us that Chorgo does not include son and son-in-law as well in the Psul. Rex says, well, if you just didn't say anything, if you had left that Chorgo Begamre, then you wouldn't have assumed that. Because only what's enumerated in the Mishnah where we say Beno and Chodno, we would have included it. If you didn't write Chorgo, we wouldn't have included it in the case. So Rex says, let me explain to you this. I want to explain to you that every case in our Mishnah has two manifestations. The Mishnah gives the two sides of every possibility here in our Mishnah. So how do you know that? So that's what this, what I did here in this chart over here shows that what Rashi is showing is the exception of two cases. Everything in our Mishnah is already mentioned. So now I laid out for you here, there's about there are 19 possibilities over here of people that are psulei krovim. I'll give you an example, you can look at them here. For instance, in the first case over here, number one is Echav. We said before that his brothers are psulei edut. Now his brothers psulei edut. What's the, if he was saying here, reflexive side? If Reuven is pasul to testify for Yehuda, Yehuda is also pasul to testify for Yehuda. Why is Yehuda pasul to testify for Reuven? Because he's also a brother. Meaning that the reason that they're both psulim, one to the other, is already mentioned. The Mishnah's Echav. Now, we said that your Ben Achiv, your brother's son, is pasul to testify for you. Why is your brother's son, right? Why are you pasul to testify? The Mishnah says Ben Achiv. Now, Ben Achiv over here in our Mishnah is Chanoch. Let's say that. We call it Chanoch in our Mishnah. Is the son your nephew? Your nephew is pasul to testify. Chanoch is pasul to testify for Yehuda is pasul to testify for Chanoch, and your Chanoch is pasul to testify for Yehuda. Why is Chanoch pasul to testify for Yehuda? Because he's Achei Aviv. He's the brother of his father. He's the brother of his father. That's an explicit case in our Mishnah. Achei Aviv are also pasul. That's number three in our Mishnah. I mean, our Mishnah enumerates explicitly the case of Achei Aviv. So you can see that Achei Aviv are psulim. So if you look in the chart over here, Achei Aviv, which is Esav, right, is pasul to testify in our Mishnah. Why is Esav pasul to testify for Yehuda? Because he's Ben Achiv. Ben Achiv, we just mentioned, is number two in the Mishnah. So you can go through this one by one. I have the whole thing laid out here. Rashi makes the statement that you can do it by all of them. There are two exceptions to this in our case. That's number nine here, which is Baal Achot Aviv. Baal Achot Aviv, which is up here on the upper right corner, right, the husband of your father's sister. Right, the husband of your father's sister, which is your uncle through marriage. Right. Your uncle through marriage. Right, so your uncle through marriage is pasul. Why is he pasul to testify for you? Meaning, why can't he testify for you? Because who is he? He's Ben, the son of Ach Ishto. He's the son of his wife's brother. He's the son of his wife's brother, which we don't have any manifestation of that anywhere in our Mishnah, because Ach Ishto does not show up in the Mishnah, so we don't have a case of Ben Ach Ishto. So that never shows up in the Mishnah. And the other case where Rashi points out it doesn't have a manifestation in the Mishnah is Chamiv, his father-in-law. Right? We said over here, Yehuda's father-in-law is Shua. Right? If his father-in-law is Shua, why can't Shua testify for Yehuda? Why can't he testify for Yehuda? It's because he's Chotnav, right? He's Chotno. He's his son-in-law. So Chotno does it, right? It's Chotno. Chotno is not mentioned in the Mishnah. That's one of the manifestations. So Rashi says, every case in our Mishnah has both sides, the psul for both sides of it. So don't ask me about Chorgo and Balimo, that why does it have both sides of the coin? Every single case in the Mishnah has to have both sides of the coin, except for these two exceptions. I can show you that they all have, every one of them has both psul, the psul for, over here, Yehuda, to the other party, and the other party to Yehuda. We can show that every one of them exists in the Mishnah, is already enumerated in the Mishnah. So Rashi says, that's why there's no question over here. Tosfos, there's two Tosfotim here, they both say the exact same thing. If you look at the bottom, he says, Zeh dibur nirali miyutar. And he thinks, I don't know why. Tosfos says the exact same thing. He disagrees with Rashi. And he says, no. That the reason over here that each one of them is mentioned is the chiddush. The chiddush for every party that's mentioned over here is because we either something about their ben or their chatan. I mean, fine, to say they're pasul, that's fine. But to say people are derivatives of them are also pasul, that's already a chiddush. That chiddush we need to learn out, we need to know from the Mishnah, and you wouldn't have known it if you weren't mentioned in the Mishnah. So Tosfos disagrees and says that every case in the Mishnah is a chiddush because of some derivative of that person that's pasul. Not the person themselves, but some derivative is a chiddush, and you wouldn't have known it had you not enumerated or listed it in the Mishnah. Alright, so now the... and therefore he would have to say over here, by the case of Chorgo, which Rashi rejected, is that Chorgo, the reason Chorgo is mentioned over here, because it doesn't have Ben and Chatan that are associated with it. Alright. And one of the main questions Tosfos has on Rashi is then, where is this Ben Ach Ishto? The case that Rashi says is an exception, why doesn't the Mishnah write it? I mean, if Rashi is so sure that they have all the cases here, why are there exceptions to Rashi's rule? If there are exceptions to Rashi's rule, then it's not a rule anymore. Right? I mean, that Rashi sets it up as a rule, and he says, that's how I can explain to you why Chorgo and Balimo are mentioned. But if there are exceptions to the rule, that means that the Mishnah doesn't do that. If the Mishnah doesn't do that, then you can't explain this as being the reason that the Mishnah mentions Balimo and Chorgo. All right, so keep this. You can look at it. I think we're going to have more cases of relatives. I'm sure it'll come up. But I try to put it together to make it easy to see what Rashi is saying over here. It's a long Rashi. It's very hard to understand unless you have the... you can actually visually see what Rashi is saying over here. All right, so that's... Amar Rabbi Yossi, Zu Mishnat Rabbi Akiva. These relatives that are psulim, the nine that we enumerated over here, is Rabbi Akiva's Mishnah. Aval Mishnah Rishonah. The original Mishnah was Dodo, his uncle, Ben Dodo, his cousin, Choleroi Lo Yorsho, anybody that could inherit him. And that it was all based on Yerusha, not on the relationships that are enumerated above. Choleroi Lo Botosha'ah. Right, so that is anybody who was a relative at that time. So he says, Aya Karov and Nitrachek, or is that Kasher? That's that when he comes to testify, he has to be a Karov. On the other hand, if he was a Karov at the time that the incident took place, but when he comes to testify, he's no longer a Karov, he's Kasher. For instance, obviously the cases where divorce, cases where someone passed away. In those cases, they're no longer relatives because they were relatives through marriage. And if they're relatives through marriage, if you eliminate the party that enjoins them, then they're no longer Karovim. That even by a son-in-law, who, right, meaning that if you have a son-in-law, so in our case over here, Shua, right, his son-in-law is Yehuda, but his daughter is Bat Shua. So his relationship with Yehuda is through Bat Shua. So if Bat Shua passes away, then his relationship to Yehuda is severed, meaning that they have no blood relationship, their relationship through his marriage, and their relationship is severed. So based on this principle, they should be able to testify now one for the other, because they're no longer relatives. The case, the exception, or the what Rabbi Yehuda suggests over here, is if they're grandchildren. If Yehuda has children over here, then Shua and Yehuda are still considered relatives, are still considered to be connected because of the grandchildren. Their grandchildren make them, in a sense, they become blood relatives through the grandchildren, because in the grandchildren is a manifestation of both the daughter and his son-in-law. So his daughter is still found in these grandchildren, and because of that, they're still classified as Krovim. However, Vesoneh, Right? So when it comes to someone who is beloved or hated, right, you can't, ohev ze shushbino. Someone who loves this person is a shushbin, but not just the shushbin, a shushbin during Sheva Brachos. The shushbin during Sheva Brachos you can't testify for. Sunei koshlo debiri mosh lo sheyamim be'eva. Somebody didn't speak to for 3 days because of an altercation, because of some sort of quarrel. Amalei, so he said back to him, lo nechshedu Yisrael al kach. Right, Bnei Yisrael are not nechshedu on this idea of sin'ah and ava affecting their ability to testify in cases. Right, how do we know that relatives can't testify one for the other? The Tanur Rabbanan, lo yumtu avot obanim. It says that avot can't die for their children. Matam lamar. What does it mean? In the lamed shelo yumtu avot be avon banim. If it's coming to teach us that avot can't die because of the sins of banim, ubanim b'avon avot, or children by the sins of their father, akvay neramar. We already have a pasuk that says ish bechato yumtu. Right? Yumatu. Everybody dies by their own sins. You die by your own credits or demerits. So you can't blame it on someone else. Elalo yumtu avot abanim means beidut banim. The fathers won't die by banim means by the edut of banim. Ubanim lo yumtu al avot, and a banim won't die with because of the fathers means beidut avot. Amar says, wait, are you really sure your principle is right? Ubanim lo bavon avot lo. Is it really true that banim don't die because of the sins of their father? Ba'aktiv says in the Torah, poked avon avot al banim. Hashem puts the avon avot on the banim, so it's explicit that the avon avot affect the banim. It says, "Hatam shokzim masei avotehem bi yedeyem." Like the Gemara in Brachot says, when is it that we say lo yumtu avot abanim or ish bechato yumatu? Versus when do we say poken avon avot abanim? Has to do whether you follow the bad ways of your fathers. If you repeat or continue in the same path of sin that the father did, then you will not only be punished for your sin but also for the sins of your fathers. On the other hand, if you sever that relationship, if there's, you will not be punished for the sins of your fathers. Kitanya. So it says in the pasuk, "V'af be'avonot avotam itam imaku." So there it says that they're going to be punished with the avon avot. They're going to be dissolved or wiped out because of that. When is that? Kishochzim be'masei avotehem. That's when they still, again, when they still do the same sins that their fathers did. Or ochzim masei derdem biyadem. Tomer, you want to suggest that they still do the same thing their fathers did? Or maybe it's when they don't do it. Kishuomer, ish becheto yumatu. It says the case of ish becheto yumatu, hare, the girsa should be here. Kishain okzim biyadam, right? That's a case where ain okzim masay of dam biyadam. So that means that our case, the pasuk over here, avavanot avotam yitem imaku, must be a case where they do still do the sins of their fathers, and that's why they're being punished. Hello? Are you so sure again? Vaktiv? It's v'kishlu ish be'achiv, v'chashlu ish be'achiv. I'm sorry, that they trip over each other. I mean, that they cause each other to trip up. Ish be'avon achiv. What does it mean that you cause someone else to trip up? Is that the sins of one will impact others? That all of Israel are responsible one for the other. All of Israel are responsible one for the other. That means that you will be punished for the sin of your brother. Not just brother literally, but any Jewish brother that you have, right, will be punished for their sin. So again, we see that this idea that sins are not a local problem. They're not just your problem. Other people's sins will also be your problem. So how can you say for sure, or why are you so certain, that lo yumtu avot habanim is really referring to testimony and not about sinning? Because over here, you can't make the claim, kishokzim masei avotehem biyadehem. You're not talking about avot. Here you're talking about anybody in you're talking about ish v'achiv, you're talking about brethren, other Jews. You're going to be held accountable for their actions. It says, you had the ability to stop it, and you didn't stop it. You had the ability to make a difference over here. You had the ability to give tochacha in this instance, and you didn't go ahead and give tochacha. So this is appears in our Gemara a number of instances in the Shas. One of them actually is coming up. One of them is coming up in Daf Mem Gimel. Is about Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. Over there is Machlokas Tanaim about how far does it go that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. Machlokas Tanaim, one Tana says that until they crossed the Yarden, right, they were not responsible for Averot Bitsina'ah. Averot that you didn't know about, Ein Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. Once you crossed over the Yarden, then already you became, right, even responsible for a vanot that you don't know about. Why? Because it says, "Anishtro Lashem Elokeinu v'nigno lanu uvanenu ad olam." Lama nakud alanu uvanenu. Why is there a dot on top of ayin shebeid? Omeishu anashal anishtarot ad shavru yisrael tayardein. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. It says once they crossed over the Yarden, they were punished even by, right, cases where they didn't know what the sin was. Rabbi Nechemia comes along and says, is anybody ever held accountable for being punished for sins they don't know about? No. Just like you are not punished about the Nistarot, right? So forth, so too, they're not punished until on the Niglot, until they cross over the Yarden. That means until they cross the Yarden, there was no such concept of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zelazeh, or at least for sins. Once you cross over the Yarden, there is a Kol Yisrael Reivim Zelazeh, but according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, that's only when you know what the sin is. The sin has to be known. That's exactly like our Gemara over here. Why is it you're only a Reivim Zevazet when you know the sin? It's because you should have stopped them. If you don't stop them, then you're a Reivim Zevazet. The Gemara asks from the case of Achan. How come all Bnei Yisrael were punished when Achan took from the Shlal in Yericho? Had nobody knew about it. The Gemara says, no, his wife and children knew about it. So his wife knew and children knew about it. Therefore, there was an issue of Kol Yisrael, Reivim Zevazet, because they should have stopped. They should have said something. Right? They were the ones that were responsible in this instance. The other case that we have in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, I think it's Daf Yuched in Avodah Zarah by Chananya Reb Tarajon, by Rechabin and Tarajon over there, he's killed by the Machut. It's a terrible death. His wife and his daughter are also right, defected by the Romans. The Gemara over there asks, why was his wife punished? Explain why Rabbi Chananya was punished over there because of the way he taught Torah, where he was Hogeh Hashem B'tzibur. So they said, then why was his wife punished? Like I said, because she should have stopped her husband. She was responsible for her husband's actions. In fact, she didn't stop her husband. She was also punished like her husband, or punished equally like her husband, because she did not stop him in that instance. And one other place we have it is in the Mishnah and Shabbos. It is found in other places, which is that the Mishnah over there enumerates or talks about a behema, behema yotza. What are animals allowed to go out with and not allowed to go out over there? Right, so over there it describes that a behema went out with a red string between its horns. Over there they sign it to the ownership to a tana. So we mean it. Over there we have a tana in the Mishnah and Shabbos. The Mishnah says that his animal went out with a red string between its horns. The Gemara says, over there, behema tzadikim don't sin. How could it be that a tana you're going to blame for having his animal go out right, with a string between its horns? The Gemara says it wasn't his animal. It was his neighbor's animal. Ah, why is it called by his name? He should have objected and he didn't object. Since he didn't object, it's assigned to him. The culpability is assigned to him. And yesterday's daf, we had a similar type of idea. It's not exactly, but a very similar type of idea, which is that Reish Lakish said about the two Amoraim, who are going to be Ma'abar the Shana, when they defended those people that were over violating Shvi'it, or we were Choshud al Shvi'it, what did he call them? He called those Amoraim Choshudim al Shvi'it. They clearly were not Choshud al Shvi'it. They weren't doing the work. It was other parties. So why is he calling them Choshudim al Shvi'it? Because they're defending. Rashi calls it because they was defending them. But the answer is that they should have stopped them. The fact that they didn't stop them, they defended these people, right? Reish Lakish then assigns culpability to them that they are also Choshudim al Shvi'it. So that, this idea that you are assigned culpability, and we see it in many places in Shas, that the person is assigned culpability when they have the ability to stop or do something, to stop some sort of poor action, some sort of poor behavior, and if you don't stand up and stop it, then you're held accountable, and that's where Kol Yisrael Reivim Zevazet comes into effect, which is that if you don't take care of it, then you're also going to be held accountable. Don't just say, it's his problem, not my problem. It will become your problem if you don't stop it. All right, we'll stop over here.